that. That's a testimony. It's become kind of a homecoming tradition for us. This morning, turning your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to be in verses 1 through 9. Come back and spend a little time on verse 7. This is, I get it, a strange place to go when we're talking about the legacy of the church, because this is Moses that is speaking to the nation of Israel. This is in the final couple of months that they're in the wandering years, as we call them. They're about to cross the Jordan into the promised land, and these are the final messages that God is using Moses to communicate to them. And actually, the passage we're in today is one that really lines up the foundation in which he wants them to build their Jewish society, and then the mission to reach the world, and ultimately the Messiah would come. So there is no mention in this of the church, at least in the way that we know it today. But it is the construct, it's the basis of which the Jewish society was built on, and even still the church today, in that we have a privilege to be the chosen mechanism, the church today, in delivering the gospel message to the lost world. God could choose anything or anybody or any mechanism, but he chose the church. He set that up. And we find the disciples, after Jesus ascends to the right hand of the Father, beginning to lay out the tenets of what we know of as the church today. And then we have a church before us that is celebrating, as I mentioned a moment ago, 138 years. I mean, that to me, it's hard to imagine 138 years ago. They didn't have this facility as we see it, but they met and had the same mission that this church has today. And 138 years worth of people who felt God leading them to serve him through this church have gone through the years of work that this church has done. It's amazing to me. And while we celebrate that, we also need to understand that God still has intention and purpose today for this church, as well as tomorrow for this church. And it's important for us, as we celebrate this, to look back at what God has used this church to do, and then now as we have a responsibility to prepare really the next generation. What I see this as is essentially the passing on of the mission and the purpose. Some of you know we lost my dad this year, and my mom has moved into an independent living apartment complex. I don't call it an old folks home because that's not what it is, and we don't want to say that. But nevertheless, she's living in an apartment now, and so we have a house that I grew up in. In fact, I was born many years ago, and they brought me home to this house. So now I'm not nearly 60, but they've owned this house for nearly 60 years. And there's an accumulation of not just memories, but what we'll call family heirlooms. And some of those, now I realize, as you get older, you want to get rid of things, but you start gathering more things, and I never quite understood that. It's because parents and grandparents give you heirlooms, and so now your house fills up with stuff that is your great-grandfather's and your great-great-aunt's, and our house here is filling up with that. We've got a dry sink from my great-grandmother that was in her house and has been passed down from family to family, and now we have it. We have a clock, doesn't even work. If you know somebody that repairs antique clocks, I'd like to talk to you, but we have a clock that my great-great-grandfather on my dad's side had sitting on his mantle, and now it's not on our mantle because we don't have a fireplace, but it's sitting on a table. And while I don't know all of the stories behind it, I know that they're important to our family. And so as we're going through our house, I say our house, we're going through and finding things, and it's important to us as a family to place those with family members that are going to continue to hold on to them and pass them down. We all do that. But that's what essentially God is doing with Moses this morning, in laying out a remembrance of what he's done, but also a charge in what he wants them to do moving forward. There are some things here for us today as we celebrate Concord Baptist Church, as well as all of those legacy builders that have come, that are no longer with us, but yet have come through the life of this church to serve. Now, we have a responsibility to remember that, but also to be those legacy builders today and prepare those who will be legacy builders tomorrow. Let's pray, and then we'll jump into our passage together and break this apart and spend some time studying. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the blessing of your word. Thank you for the blessing of this church. And those extended families, we've already said, that are with us today as we celebrate, as we're going to go have a meal in a little while after this service. And then we've got all kinds of historical documents that are lining our hall and also in a room that we have set up today, all in order to celebrate you ultimately. I believe that. And what you've used this church to do through its faithfulness for 138 years to be able to carry the gospel into this community. And this community and the whole world has changed greatly in that length of time. But your calling, your blessing, and your purpose for this church has not changed. And so God, we today remember those who've come before us, that set legacies that now impact and influence us, have made sacrifices so that we can have the church facilities and the church that we know of today is Concord Baptist Church. But with that, Father, there's a responsibility that we have today to make sure that we're being good stewards of that, but also we're preparing to pass that on to the next generation that will rise up and continue to lead this church into its future. So God, I pray as we look at this passage this morning that you would open our hearts and our minds to you. Help us to push aside anything that's disrupting us, that's causing us to worry about something, but to be able to just focus on you. And we may be here this morning. We're not members of this church, perhaps, or someone's watching or listening to this on our live stream. They may be thinking, well, I've never even walked into that church. But Lord, there is still something here because we are all part as believers of the church, the body of believers. And in the same responsibility that we're talking specifically today lays out for all believers in making sure that we're being involved in the furthering of the kingdom, the gospel, but also preparing for the next generation, that we're leaving a legacy that points the glory to you. So God, we pray that you would bless us as we read your word, guide us as we study it today. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're going to go down verses 1 through 9. I'll make some comment as we go through this, but then we're going to come back and there are three things that we need to keep in mind as we are serving the Lord in our local church today, as well as preparing for the generation that will come after us. And these are things that we need to remember. So let's start reading verse 1. These are the commands. Now this is Moses speaking here, but he's being influenced and guided by God. No doubt this is a message directly from God to the children of Israel that is gathered. Let me also remind you of this. A generation has passed. None of these that are alive at this time have any memory of what life was like before slavery. They've been enslaved for 40 years. Their ancestors have walked the wilderness, and now they are at the threshold of walking across the Jordan to now receive what God has been promising long before many of them were ever even born. So he goes on, these are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. And he goes on, verse 2. And you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. Now what he's saying here is this. You understand this for you, but you also need to make sure that you create a climate and a culture in which this is passed down. One of the great responsibilities, we would all agree with this, of the church is to pass the gospel to the present, but also to begin to build the means in which that can be done even long after we're gone. And that's part of building a legacy. That's what is happening. They're receiving that legacy because their parents, and in some cases their grandparents, have been steadfast in wandering and preparing, if you will, for this generation to be able to receive the blessings of the promised land. He goes on and he says this in the latter part of verse 2. If you obey all of his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Now that's a sermon in and of itself. I don't think what we're talking here is physical years. This is not the fountain of youth or the secret of the fountain of youth. This is simply saying that we'll live a long life of impact and legacy building and pleasing the Lord. Because that, as a believer, is what we're searching for, is to be pleasing to Him, to be what God wants us to be. He goes on, verse 3, leading up to verse 4 and 5, which kind of are the central pieces of this passage. Verse 3, listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. He has now warned them, essentially, twice about being obedient. He says this as we continue. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey. That's the blessings and all of the provisions that God has prepared for them in the promised land. Just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. So one of the things that you're going to hear me say this morning, and when we think about a relationship with God, or what we might think of in this case, the idea of a covenant, those are generational. You know what I mean by that? In that you can't claim godliness or Christianity because of something your dad or grandfather or great-grandfather did, right? You have to come to terms with that yourself. You have to, under the New Testament sense, accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, don't you? You can't get into heaven based on something that an ancestor or someone before you did. You can't. It's a generational thing. So each generation has to make that choice. That's what Moses is laying out here, is that your ancestors have made this covenant commitment. It is now upon you to do that and prepare the next generation. Same thing that we're building is a responsibility of the church today, is that we are making the commitment to do what God wants us to do as a church, but also in building for the future. Verse 4 and 5 is often referred to as the Shema. That's a Hebrew word that basically describes this is the central prayer that all Jews would have prayed in this time, and even to some extent into the New Testament times, and even still today, Judaism will hold this prayer in high regard. It becomes, if you will, the cornerstone of all that Judaism in their mind represented. It's important. He starts it in verse 4. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your strength. It's similar to what Jesus will say, isn't it, in the Gospels. He's bringing it from this passage. And so we know that Jesus lays this out as a mandate for us still today. So it has relevance. He goes on, verse 6, and we're getting kind of to our focal verse, which is in verse 7, but he goes on and he says this, you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Not half-heartedly, wholeheartedly. With all of what you have as your being, you make your commitment. This is part of him establishing this relationship in a generation that's about to enter into the promised land. That same applies to the next generation after them and the generation after that. He goes on and he says this in verse 7, repeat them again and again to your children. This is the aspect of passing it on, right, to the next generation. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. You know what he means? Talk about them all the time. Make them part of your family legacy and culture. Putting God first, but also putting Him first in your family. Verse 8, tie them to your hands and wear them on your foreheads as a reminder. Now, listen, that's not literal, right? We're not walking around with anything tied onto our head or anything tattooed on our head. That's not what he's saying. But when someone looks at you, then they ought to be able to see your commitment to God by the way that you act and live and the way you point people to Him. That's what he means by that. And tying them to your hands, they become part of your work, the handiwork that God is doing. He's doing through you, and you're representing that. Verse 9, last part of this passage, write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And again, that's that sort of reiteration of those around us ought to see that, because if they approach our home, not literal here, but when they come to you, they know who you are and what you stand for and what your commitment is. It is that sort of outward facing representation of being a believer. So that's the passage, and Moses is preparing them, as I've said, but there are several things that I want us to think about in terms of our church, Concord Baptist Church, and the legacy that we're celebrating, but also the legacy that's being built right now, as well as the legacy that will be built in the future. How do we go about doing that as a church today? Three simple reminders that we can extract out of this chapter. Number one is this: we need to make sure that we're remembering God's purpose. Now, when we begin to understand that God planted this church 138 years ago, this week our ladies were preparing some of our archives to be shown today. We've done that before, and we have a prominent picture of the first pastor. And I'm telling you, it's old, and he's got a beard. None of us know him. I couldn't tell you his name right now, but yet he was the one that God called to start this church as its first pastor. And then in his mind, I'm sure he was never thinking that in 2025 there would be a bald pastor without a beard. He has long hair, by the way. A bald pastor without hair on his face, now the pastor of the church, and sharing about the legacy and all of the work that God has done. There's probably no way in his mind that he was thinking that morning that picture was taken. But yet here we are. And as we sit here, we understand that the purpose that God gave him and the original founding members of this church is still the same purpose that he gives us. What is that purpose? That we first honor him and serve him, and that we're committed to sharing the gospel with the lost world in our community and even beyond our community. One of the great things that we have in our denomination is the Giving to the Cooperative program, which allows us to now send money and support to missionaries all over the world. We may have never met them, don't even know their name, but it's irregardless. We are supporting their gospel message in far remote regions of the world. And that's part of the uniqueness that we have as a church that participates with Southern Baptists. But that purpose remains the same for us even still today. Knowing that within that purpose, as he has for our church, there is purpose for us. And we believe this. God's called us to be a part of this. If you're part of our extended family, we think of you as missionaries in wherever you live. And the impact and the influence of this church on your family now begins to shape what you do in your community and in your local church there. See, it just begins to be mind-boggling how that when a faithful group will adhere to what God is calling them to do and fulfill that purpose, how it now begins to scatter and spread. It's almost like the idea of, and we never wanted to do this as kids, but when we had our BB guns and you were loading them, I don't know that that's politically correct today, but nevertheless, many of us in my age category had BBs. BB guns. And one of the first things that you learned was to don't spill them everywhere. Why is that? Because they're going to go places, and if you're in the house, Lord help you, because mom's going to get them in her vacuum cleaner, and she's going to be really upset with you. So you always had to cup them. Well, the legacy or the heritage of a godly church is much like that, but intentionally throwing them out and watching them go into places that we may never even imagine that the legacy of a single church in a small community in Alabama can impact places all over the place. And it's part of the celebration, but it's also part of the challenge of knowing that we have that same responsibility today to ensure that the purpose that we believe God has given this church and its founding is still being put in the forefront. And that is, as we've said, to grow closer to him, to be his people, his servants, to be the gospel carriers into our community and sharing that gospel unapologetically, standing for the truth that God has presented us and laid on our hearts, and doing that in a world that's very different today, and probably it will be very different even more in the future. But it doesn't change the purpose that God has given us. So we have a purpose for being here, and God has a purpose for this church and the work that it does, and the work that it will continue to do. Number two is this: not only if we're going to be effective, I believe in passing on to the next generation and being good stewards of what God has given us as our responsibility right now as the church. We not only need to remember God's purpose, but number two is that we need to remember God's work. And this is just part of just taking a moment to think about the impact that this church has made. We've already used the illustration of the BBs. Whether that's a good illustration or not, it represents for us the impact that the church is making. And I assure you, the people in the generations prior to us probably had no idea how all of that was coming to be and how it would work, much like today. We probably have no idea the impact that this church is making in this community, in the friendships and relationships and the gospel being presented in ways that we don't even probably realize. But because we're part of the work that God is doing in this community, it becomes an important marker for us in remembering that God has been working in this church. He's continuing to work in this church, and He will continue to work in it in the future. It's not up to us. It's His doing, and it's His sort of commitment, I think, but also His responsibility to make sure that what we do is an investment. And I hate to call it that, but it's similar to that in that we're investing into the future of the church. I mean, we look at our church today and, you know, we had to redo our insurance this last year. And it's just, I mean, it's a daunting task when you start looking at the value that the facilities like a church like this has. And the expense that you would go through in rebuilding if we had some type of loss, a fire or a tornado or something like that. And it's mind-boggling when you look at this and the sacrifice that those who came before us made in order to put this together and have, what we enjoy, what now is a tool and an instrument and a resource for us to be able to be in this community sharing the gospel. And it becomes a reminder to this community when they drive by that this church is here and that it's committed to meeting its needs in this community and being a gospel present. Now, I realize we're in Alabama. You can drive a half a mile and run into four different churches, okay? I get that. But each church is unique. And even with the other churches, we all have individualized purposes and calls and reasons that we continue to do the work that we do. And we do team with them and work together in different things. We're not an island unto ourselves. We certainly need to understand the community of believers that go beyond this church. But we need to remember the work that God has done. We need to remember the work that He's doing right now and some of the efforts that we have. And then the work that we know He'll continue to do. And building into that, the investment, not for our gain. I mean, those who helped build this place did not really reap the benefits of what you and I reap today, right? They were paying the debt and paying loans and all of that kind of stuff. And it was a different generation that they would not have been a part of, likely, that would then reap the benefits of all of the investment that they made into this church. That will be similar for us. What we're doing today, we may not reap the benefits of, but the future generations will. And as we have been blessed by it, we want to bless them. That's what Moses is telling the children of Israel. You have been spared for 40 years. You've been wandering because of the rebellion of your family, your parents, your grandparents. But yet now you are about to enter into the promised land and reap all of the benefits that God has for you because of the faithfulness of the children of Israel during those 40 years. And even prior to that, God is paying off right now. I hate to call it paying off. He is now fulfilling the commitment that He made all the way back to Abraham and the promise that He made to Abraham. And now it has just continued. And now He's delivering that to those that remain, that next generation. Number three is this. And this doesn't really come from this passage. It does a little bit. But it really falls a little bit further down in the chapter that we didn't read around verse 20 and 25. But it's talking here that if we're going to be effective in passing on to the next generation, we need to remember God's hope. The hope that no matter what happens in the world, that God is still on His throne. He's sovereign. That's a truth that every generation in this church has had to come to terms with. And it's one that we have to come to terms with right now in our church and in the crazy world that we're living in. And certainly in the future, if we pay attention to prophecy, It will need to be done in the future in a church like this, where they believe, no matter what's happening in the world around them, that God is still sovereign and on his throne. And as we've said, he still has purpose, and he still has work for us to do as a church. And we have the hope that as we are faithful, God will be pleased. And then one day, we will stand in heaven with him, with all of what we've been able to do for him in this lifetime. Listen, they're probably, you look at, I mean, I'm a little bit of a history buff, but you look in 138 years, and you think about all of the world crisis. You've had world wars. You've had all kinds of different cultural sort of moments that we look at. And in all of those things, this church continued, unwavering, by the way, to continue to do what God has called it to do. It never got distracted to the point that it decided to close its doors and pack up what was left and go somewhere else. They remained faithful. And while we look back at it now and say, well, none of those were as bad as maybe they thought they were. Well, people may say that about us right now. And in all of what we're facing, I'll tell you though, while we do live in a crazy, chaotic world, we at least are not being threatened because we're believers right now. We're being freely allowed to share the gospel. And in our church right now, we are live streaming. I mean, we're able to send this service, the worship and the message, out across the internet to whoever wants to view it without any kind of consequence. And we do that. I mean, we're living, I think, in a very advantaged world right now for us. Now, we know things will probably get worse as time goes by, as I've said, because of prophecy. But no matter what we think of the world right now and the uncertainty of what's going on, we know that irregardless, God is on his throne. He is sovereign. And just as he has protected the work of this church for 138 years, he will continue to do that. And while we may think this is a world-ending moment for our world, it may not be. And in the future, they'll look back at this time and say, well, you know, that really wasn't as bad as they thought it was. And what we're going through then will be worse. We all think that probably, that whatever we're going through is worse than what our ancestors went through, when in reality, it's just part of the ebb and flow of the world in history. Listen, irregardless, God still has purpose. He still has work for us to do, and we have the hope that every single day that we're doing what he wants us to do to please him. Because as we talk about purpose, ultimately in that, we're being obedient to him. Amen? Being obedient in what he wants us to do and growing this church and impacting those in our community. Although it's changing, we still have that responsibility. I believe that. And so in this, we celebrate, but we also, I think, embedded in this, just like the children of Israel, standing on the bank of the Jordan River, had to make a commitment. Were they committed to do what God wanted them to do, to now begin to not just reap the benefits of what God was giving them, but also be able to prepare for the next generation to continue this? And as they're standing there, as we just said a moment ago, they're going to build things that they will never see, okay? I mean, this generation that we're talking about here will never see the arrival of the Messiah. They will never see Paul. They will never see Peter and all that God does in that. But what they're being used by God to do right now is to build the foundation for that. It was bigger than them, even though they may not have realized it. And that's where we celebrate and have hope that our little part here in Concord, in Bessemer, and then Jefferson County, let me get that right, is a small part, but it's a bigger part of what God is doing in this world. And we need to be celebrating that and also being thankful for what God is doing. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the blessing of this. Thank you, God, for this passage. And thank you, Father, for what we celebrate as a church today. And then, God, as we walk through this and we look at this, we know that there is that memory, remembering what you've done, but also in the past, but also choosing to remember what you're going to do right now in us as we stand as the stewards. Whether we're members of this church or not, we have a responsibility for the impact and the legacy of those who have come and telling that story to the next generation, passing on those values and those commitments and the desire to please God. Those are all responsibilities, Father, that we have to share into the next generation. And passing on these stories. And so, Father, in a few minutes, as we walk down and eat and then come back and spend some time looking through the archives, perhaps help us to be impressed on all of what has happened in the past, but also remember the challenge and the commitment that we have going forward. Now, God, we're thankful this morning for this message. We're thankful for the truth that is always contained in your word. And so, Father, we now move into what I believe is the most important time of our service. It's our time to respond to you. And I pray, God, that you would open our hearts. If there's a decision this morning to be made, we pray that that would be made as we now stand and commit to you this time. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand now with me?